Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. God has called his church to take the good news of Jesus into the world. That's our mission as disciples of Christ, and this ministry exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. To learn more about Brave or give a gift to help make programs like the one today possible, head to bravepastorjeff.com. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, God's Picture of Marriage, from the series Stronger. He'll help you discover a higher perspective on marriage and how that shapes your life. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
I want to encourage you to open your Bible this morning to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, we're going to begin in verse 16 of chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 16. A couple things I want to tell you before we get started. As we're moving through the book of 1 Corinthians, there's a lot of things that the church is writing back to Paul and asking him, hey, would you address this? And would you address this? And hey, would you talk about this? And Paul's going to begin to address them. So I want to let you know something about your pastor. I am a student of Scripture. I am not an expert in the Scriptures. Okay? And by that, what I mean is there's a lot of these places that when you read ahead and see what we're going to be talking about, normally the first question Christians ask is, does Pastor Jeff agree with me? Okay? Terrible question to ask. Here's the question you want to ask. What does God's word say to me? And am I aligned with what God's word is saying? Okay? That's number one. Number two, I want to tell you this. Whatever your view of marriage is, God's view is higher than your view. Okay, I'm just telling you, whatever you think marriage is or how God views it, it's actually higher than what you think of it. And I want to tell you this, whatever you view of the gospel and Christ's shed blood and his resurrection from the dead and his forgiveness of sins, there's a much higher view of that than what you're appreciating this morning as well. And you need to know those things before we get into his word today, because this is a very hard text to preach. I'll tell you about my Friday. Friday was my birthday, okay? And thank you. I share it with Lorraine, who turned 98 on Friday as well. I'm just a little bit behind you, but I'm hoping I catch you someday. And, you know, I planned the whole day with my family, planned the whole night with my wife, and I was so troubled about where I was landing in my notes. I spent 11 hours on Friday and 4 more hours on Saturday and called in and asked if we could do the notes on Saturday instead of Friday, just because I wanted to make sure I was convicted and I wanted to make sure that the word of God was saying what I said it was saying. And I'm convinced it does. You may not. And here's what I would encourage you. If in any place you say, I don't agree with Pastor Jeff here, that's not gonna hurt my feelings at all. Just make sure that you align yourself with this book and that this book is where you're getting your opinion from. If you'll do that, we're all good. Amen? Amen. Okay, so with that, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 16. And to bring you up to speed, what Paul has been talking about is sexuality, singleness, and marriage. And so at the end of chapter 6, we took a look at how God designed sexuality, what its purpose is, how it works, how God wants it to be used. And then last week, we took a look at God's cure for immorality. And we said to all singles, here's your answer. Celibacy or abstinence? That's your call. That's what singles have the privilege of doing to the glory of God. Marrieds, it's being married to the one person that you're with and sexually fulfilling each other. If all singles live the way they were to do and all marrieds live the way they were to do, we would not have sexual immorality. That's what Paul says. Well, today he's going to say why, because he's going to give a picture of what marriage really looks like. And as we look at this, I'm asking you to open your heart, because I'm telling you again, God's view of marriage is bigger than whatever yours is that you came in here with today, okay? It's just bigger. And we're going to take a look at four things that God has to say. Now, I want to let you know from the beginning, hang with me for the whole message. Like, don't get up and leave halfway through. We'll get to where we need to go, but I'm setting a standard. My job as your pastor is to preach the authority of God's word without apology and set the standard and then let you know there's grace where we didn't hit the standard, okay? So with that in mind, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, starting in verse 16. Here's what Paul says. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows that it's good for them if they remain even as I. But if they do not have self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. And really what we see here is as God's setting up this standard of marriage, Paul is going to address a specific group of people. He's going to talk to the unmarried and the widows. Now, this word unmarried in this context really aligns with widows because there's no masculine word for widower. And so Paul is really talking here, not just to all singles, he's talking here to those who have been married before, whose spouses have died, whether you're a widower or whether you're a widow. And here's what he says to this group of people. He says, I say to them that it is good for them to remain even as I. It's interesting that he uses these words, even as I. I mean, it almost gives this little clue that Paul could have been married to someone who has now died. That's a possibility. And it wouldn't be beyond the realm of possibility, considering Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees, and all young boys would have probably been married by the age of 20. It was almost required. So it would not be outside the realm of possibility if the Apostle Paul earlier in his life was married. Bible's not crystal clear on it. Certainly not something we're going to split the church on, but I'm just bringing that to your attention because when you get down to verse 26, when he's talking about virgins or those who have never been married, he says, I think then that this is good in view of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. He doesn't say even as I. He doesn't identify himself with virgins. He identifies himself with widowers and being a widow. And that's who he's addressing here. And here's what he's talking about. And this is my first point, that singles should choose wisely because marriage is a covenant until death, okay? Singles, listen to me. Choose wisely who you marry because marriage is a covenant until death. Paul says, now to the unmarried and the widows, it's good for them to remain even as I, but if they do not have self-control, let them marry, for it's better to marry than to burn with passion. Here he's telling them, it's good if you're a widow or a widower, it's good to remain as you are, but if you can't, go ahead and get married. There's nothing wrong with you getting married. Here's what he's not saying, singles. He's not saying, if you're a single and you're just burning with sexual desire, marry the first Christian that comes down the road. That's a really bad choice, just so you know. Singles, let me tell you something. Who you get married to, you're married to until death do you part. Who you pick as a partner is a really, 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 really big deal. If you think you're miserable as a single, marry the wrong person and you will wish you were single, okay? So Paul is not saying if you have a sexual desire, just marry whomever and it'll be good. That's not what he's saying. He's saying it's good to be single, but if you choose to get married, choose wisely. That's what he's saying. Why? Because Paul understands marriage. And to find out what God defines marriage at, we only need to go back in the very first chapter of the Bible and we see how God designed this. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, we see the divine illustration of what marriage is. In Genesis 1:27, he said, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And we talked about at length how both genders were created by God and both genders are good. If you're a female, good. If you're a male, good. This is how God designed the family, okay? Then he says to the man and woman this, God blessed them, he gave them favor, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So what does he do? He gives them dominion over the earth. He blesses them. He says this, be fruitful and multiply, okay? So a command in your marriage is be fruitful and multiply. We talked that the procreative aspect is not the only aspect of sexuality in the marriage, but it's a part of it. And it's a good thing to multiply. Why? Because God has a design for the family to represent him. Why? Because he already said we're created in the image of God. Plants are not. Animals are not, the sky is not, the sun and stars are not, we are. So God designed this family unit for a husband and a wife and Lord willing children to come along. So in that mystery of husband, wife, and kids, you have this picture of the image of God going forward. That's what it is. And in Genesis 2:24, he highlights it even more. Because prior to Genesis 2:24, he says, it's not good for the man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable. And women, don't be worried about that word helper, because sometimes like, well, he just made a helper. I'm a nobody. That's the same word in the Old Testament that God uses for savior or deliverer. I mean, it's really important. Here's what it means. When for Adam, there was no suitable helper. It means this, men, when you know that you're called to being married, because you say, I don't have the gift of singleness. That's not what I want. And God brings a wife for you. It means that you could not be who you were designed to be apart from the woman that God brought you.
You're listening to Brave, and today Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, God's Picture of Marriage, from the series Stronger, helping you discover a higher perspective on marriage and how that shapes your life. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment, but first, we want to help you be ready to courageously stand for kingdom values each day. That's why we want to invite you to become a Brave Warrior by signing up for email updates from Pastor Jeff. As a Brave Warrior, you'll get exclusive first-look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to BravePastorJeff.com to sign up. Once again, that website is BravePastorJeff.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, let's get back to Pastor Jeff to listen to the conclusion of his teaching from God's Word today.
That's what it means. She's not your person that does the dishes for you or your laundry for you or vacuums the floor, even though she may do some of those things. That's not why God brought her. God brought her because you needed her to be the fullness of what God had for you in your life. That's why this may come as a shock to some of you, but that's why you and your spouse are totally different. Did you know that? When you're dating, you don't realize just how different until you get married, and then you realize, wow, we're really different. And you know why? Because if you were both the same, one of you would be unnecessary. And God brought you together for the purpose of seeing things in the world in a way that you wouldn't have otherwise seen. Now, my wife and I were totally different. Okay. I remember early on in our marriage, we sat down, we had a Bible study. We were sitting on the couch and like, let's just open up. I don't remember what we were even studying. I think it was Psalms or something. And we opened it up and, you know, I've been trained in the Word. I mean, this is what I do for a living. So we were reading through it and I asked her, I'm like, what do you see? What do you observe? And I'm expecting some like detailed report in my head. Like, well, here's what I see in the sovereignty. And here's what her response was. Wow, that's beautiful. And I'm like, beautiful, can you even say that about the Bible? I mean, give me some more stuff. I mean, what? And we ended up getting in an argument over the whole thing and kind of got in a fight over having this Bible study, okay? It was like 3 months later and I'm driving home one day and I noticed this sunset off in the distance. And as it's going down in my heart, I thought, wow, that's beautiful. And the Lord's like, yeah, that's why I gave you your wife so that you could recognize the things that you've never ever seen in the world before, right? And my wife's an artist and she always sees things and she takes time to smell the flowers and she enjoys relationships and she lives in the moment and she's fun to vacation with and she's all these things that I'm not, and I'm better for having her and she is better for having me. And we both talk about how we've changed over the years because of our appreciation for one another, right? So when God brings a man and a woman together, here's what he says in Genesis 2:24. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife and the two will become one flesh. Here's marriage, a man and a woman joined together in covenant with God. It's not a covenant before God. It's not Kim and I made a covenant to each other. God's in on that thing. Do you remember your wedding day? There was probably something said like along these lines, like for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, for richer or for poorer, till death do you part. And then the preacher or the minister or the justice of the peace or somebody said something along like this, and what God has joined together, let no one put asunder. In other words, here's what God was saying. Because God's the designer of marriage, because he's the one that orchestrated it, here's what he says about marriage. Marriage is that one woman and that one man that's joined together. They're in covenant with me. And here's what breaks the covenant. You know what breaks the covenant? Death. You probably didn't hear me. Okay, here's what breaks the covenant, death. If one or the other person doesn't die, you're still married, according to God. That's how serious marriage is. Like, we have a cavalier view of marriage, no matter who you are. And when we talk about this, trust me, I know I'm talking to singles and married and divorced and widows and widowers and those who have been remarried and believers and unbelievers and all these different things. I realize even if you aren't dealing with this personally, I guarantee you somebody in your immediate context is going through a situation that I'm going to be addressing today. And it's super painful. But just understand, my job is giving you the standard. And here's what Jesus says. And here's what he would say if he were standing here. I designed marriage. I created marriage. It's for one man and one woman, and when they're joined together, they join together till death do they part, and that's the only way you get out of the marriage. So singles, again, let me tell you, be very, very careful who you're gonna marry. Because if you're getting ready to get married and you're saying, well, I'm kind of 90% there, but they have this 10% that bothers me. That 10% that bothers you, multiply that by 100, because that's what it's gonna be when you get married. That's a great place for every married person to say amen. Amen. Okay, because here's the deal. Like, when you're dating, it's easy. You're not sharing a pocketbook. You're not sharing a house. You're not sharing children. You're not sharing your life. You're just going out to dinner. And if you can't get that right, don't marry them. I'm just telling you, it gets harder. Even when you marry the right person, there's seasons that can be really hard. Am I telling the truth? So singles, be very, very careful who you marry. It's really, really important. Paul tells him, hey, I think it's good. I think it's good, he says, in 1 Corinthians 7, for you to remain even as I am. But if you do not have self-control, go ahead and marry. Now, I know of a few guys that I've met during my life that have chosen to remain single. It doesn't seem to be the norm. Paul talked about last week, we looked at it last week, he talks about it in the previous verses, that it's a gift. If you're called to be single, it's a gift. And the reason it's a gift is because you can devote yourself wholeheartedly to the work of Jesus Christ. It's a gift. I know of a few guys that have that gift. One guy is a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary. He graduated in my class. He's brilliant. He's got a medical doctorate degree. He's got a theological doctorate degree. And I think he has one other doctorate degree. And he has chosen celibacy to give himself wholeheartedly to all the myriads of different things that he does in advancing the kingdom of God. I have another friend that's a missionary in Czech Republic. And I remember sitting down with him when I was over there. I'm like, don't you have a desire like to get married ever? He's like, not really. He goes, I really want to devote myself wholeheartedly to seeing the gospel of Jesus Christ be realized in the Czech Republic in my lifetime. Great. Okay. So if you can be single, let me tell you something, nothing wrong with it. In a couple of weeks, you're going to see there's many advantages to being single. Oh, and by the way, if you are single and you're not satisfied, don't get married either, because the person that you think is going to satisfy you, they're going to let you down. Okay, you don't get married to somebody so that they satisfy you. You get married because you're totally satisfied as a single and you're ready to give up all your rights that you have to yourself to give them all to somebody else. That's what it means to get married, right? So be very, very careful. That's what Paul says. Because Paul understands, even in this verse you see, or in this chapter you see, in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 39, it says this, a wife is bound as long as her husband lives, but if her husband is dead, she is free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. It means you can only marry Christians. Christians should only marry Christians. Right? 2 Corinthians 6 says, do not be unequally yoked to an unbeliever. Christians marry Christians, only in the Lord. Paul gives the same teaching in Romans in chapter 7, verses 2 and 3, where he says the exact same thing he's spelling out in 1 Corinthians. He says, for the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he is living, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning the husband. So then, if while the husband is living, she is joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. Now, do you hear this? If you, as a woman, join yourself to another man while the husband that you married is still living, it's adultery. But if her husband dies, she's free from the law, so she's not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man. It means this. If I were to die this week, my wife would be free if she would choose to marry another man. Now, she'd never find somebody quite as lovely as me, but she's free as long as that guy is in the Lord. So there's no guilt heaped on her. No, you can't do this. No, none of that. If she would choose, she can choose singleness or she could choose to get remarried. Same would be true of me. If something happened to my wife and she died, then I could stay single or I could choose to remarry. That's what Paul's saying. Only in the Lord. Why? Because marriage is one man, one woman becoming one flesh, and they are covenanted till when? Till death. Why death? Because Jesus said there's no marriage in heaven or no giving in marriage in heaven. Your marriage is only for time and space. It's only for here and now. There's no marrieds in heaven. Okay, that may freak some of you out. Like, well, I love my spouse. You'll know them if they're Christian. You'll see them. But there would be a hindrance when the full glory of Jesus is in your life and they are known. Your spouse will be a hindrance in the coming kingdom, I promise you, right? But in this world, in time and space, it's a gift. So marriage is only good until death do you part, but it's binding until death do you part. It means if you're single and you're choosing to get married, know this, I am choosing no matter what happens to stay married to this person for better or for worse, whether I like it or not. That's what marriage is. And I'm telling you, we don't have nearly as high of a view of marriage as the Lord Jesus Christ does, okay? Now here, if that's true, that we should choose wisely because it's a covenant until death. Let me tell you something about a covenant real quick too, and we'll move on. A covenant is different than a contract. Like a contract is something that has rules and regulations that if one party breaks, then you get out of the contract. We signed a contract with the bank when we bought this building. We signed a mortgage that said, we'll continue to pay this and then we'll keep the building. But if we stop paying on the building, the bank will come and say, hey, you didn't fulfill your part of the deal. We're taking the building back. Now it belongs to us. Because why? Because it's a contract. People try to get married with contracts. I think it's a marital contract. Like, well, if he does this or if she does this or if that's what happens then I'm out. Let me tell you something about a covenant. There is no way out. You're not listening to me. I'm just telling you from the authority of God's word, there's no way out. Not out of a covenant. Now, you can go to the justice of the peace and you can file for divorce and you can get a piece of paper. I'm telling you, there's no way out of your covenant because God's not saying you're out of the covenant. Because once you're married, you're married. So singles, choose carefully. I mean, on our wedding, and when you have your wedding day, if it was similar to mine, we don't really think about stuff like these because we're too busy looking googly-eyed at the other person that's across from us, and we're thinking about the reception and the honeymoon and life. But I'm telling you, this is what goes on in heaven. You're covenanted. And why? Because God wants to build something through that one flesh, and you will be one flesh until one or the other of you dies. I mean, I joke. I mean, Kim and I are so different. We love each other so much. But I joke this way because when her and I got married, I mean, we got married a little older and we thought we had life figured out and knew each other and it's going to be so easy for us. And our first year and a half was rather difficult. And I look back on our marriage that when we were saying our I do's and we were like, yeah, we got this, that God was up in heaven saying this, ha, 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 gotcha. You're stuck now. And then you can either figure out how to make this thing work and love one another or you can pull apart. And we, by God's grace, have always said, there's no pulling apart. We're just gonna figure out how to make this thing work. And when we stopped trying to change each other and started living out the gospel, which was for a man to love her like Christ loved the church no matter what, and that my life's not about me, and for her submitting to me as to Christ, and it's not about her, man, our marriage not only changed, but it began to sizzle. And can I tell you something? That's true for every single marriage. Amen. Why? Because it's covenant. God promises it. Well, my spouse isn't doing this. They don't even need to be involved in the process. It's you and God. You make a majority. So you live out what God wants you to live out in your marriage and you let him deal with your spouse. But you got to do it God's way, right? That's the introduction, by the way. Now let's get into the text. Okay, so here's the deal then. If we should choose wisely, here's what Paul would say then. So if you're married, stay married. If you're married, stay married. Now that sounds simple enough. It's just really hard to do. And here's why. Because when we go through challenges in our marriage, when we go through hard times and it's so painful and it's so hurtful and it's more than we can handle, we're like, no, I'm not doing this thing. You don't understand how hard this is. That's why God gives us his word. Notice what he says in verse 10. But to the married, I give instructions, not I, but the Lord. Now, why would he say that? He's gonna say that because Jesus Christ has already given specific instructions about what marriage is to be. And we'll look at some of those in just a second. So all Paul is doing here is he's harmonizing the words of everything that Jesus has already taught. And you'll see that all Paul is doing here is saying exactly what Jesus said. To the married, I give this command, not I, but the Lord, that the wife should not leave her husband, but if she does leave, she must remain unmarried. Okay, wives, you cannot leave your husband. You can't divorce your husband. But if you do, you get to be unmarried for the rest of your life, according to the word of God, okay? But, or else be reconciled to your husband. You get those two choices. You leave your husband, you get to stay single, or you should work to be reconciled. That's your option. And that the husband should not divorce his wife. Christian men, you don't get to divorce your wife. Excuse me. You see how hard that teaching is? It's simple, because if you go back to Genesis 2:24, that's exactly what Jesus taught there. Okay? Christians, Let me just tell you something. If you're married, you're married. So stay married. There's no out clause.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, God's Picture of Marriage, from the series Stronger, helping you discover a higher perspective on marriage and how that shapes your life. If you've been blessed by today's teaching, we invite you to give a gift to help keep this program going strong. To give, visit BravePastorJeff.com. That's BravePastorJeff.com. But before we wrap up, we also would like to invite you to join us for weekend services at Brave Church. Visit in person at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit BraveChurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.